Good morning, USA. Welcome back to another episode of Shallow Vows, a podcast dedicated to American Dad. If you're new here, welcome, of course. If you've been here before, I'm changing a couple things up. Not anything crazy, but I'm trying to like shift the vibe a little bit. It's basically just like, okay, so, you know, like my goal of this podcast is, you know, obviously, of course, like any other crazed American Dad fan, I want to get Seth MacFarlane's attention somehow. But I've been making it like about me, you know, like my goals, my intentions, why I'm putting it out there, whatever. But I want to shift it a little bit more so it's like not so much about me, you know, like I haven't been like, you know, I don't really know. I do know, but I don't. I want this to be like a conversation, like we're on the phone pretty much, but I've been very me central and I want it to be you central, you know? If you're listening, because you like American Dad, not because you like care about my goals. Maybe you do. And if you do, that's great. But at the same time, like, you don't have to care about why I'm doing this. You're just listening because it's, you know, American Dad related. So I want to make it more of like a phone call, you know, like a FaceTime session where we're just geeking out, going crazy over every little detail of American Dad. And I'm sorry it took me forever to get to the point. If you know me or if you don't know me, if you've been listening, you can kind of pick up on what I've been doing. I have horrible ADD. And I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about as soon as words come out of my mouth. So I want this to be about everybody, every American Dad fan, whether you've been watching the show since it aired or you're literally just started, like starting yesterday. Let's say you just watched an episode for the first time yesterday. If you're a fan and you like American Dad, I want you to be a part of the conversation. I want you to join me on this phone call. Think of it as like a big conference call that we're having. And I'm just the one talking first. And then all of you get to put in your input afterward. That's what I want it to be. This is supposed to be like a cool conversation. You know, like, it would be great one day if I could meet Seth MacFarlane, if I could talk to him about the show, if I could somehow guest star on an episode. That's like my ultimate like delusional goal. But in the meantime, I want to meet other American Dad fans. I want to have like a little fan club going on. I want to be the host. So that's what's going on. I cannot believe it took me 3 minutes to like get to all that, but whatever. Anyway, this is Shallow Vows, a podcast dedicated to American Dad. I'm your host, Sam from Connecticut, and we're going to dive on in to episode 6. And I want to say that if you didn't know this before, because I've only mentioned it a couple of times, but if you've never heard it, this is my second attempt at doing an American Dad-themed podcast. I used to have a co-host, but it's been a couple of years, and now I'm revamping it by myself. And when we did it the last time, we only made it as far as episode 5, and then we kind of, like, gave up, we got bored, you know, whatever. It was hard to, like, figure out scheduling stuff. But now that I'm doing it by myself and I have control over the whole thing, it makes it a lot easier for me. So I'm beating my own record. I am getting farther than I did the first time. So I'm giving myself a little pat on the back. You don't have to, I mean, that might not mean anything to you, you know, but whatever. So we're diving on in to episode 6 of season 1 of American Dad, and that is called Homeland Insecurity, which it plays into, you know, Stan's big, like, CIA, Republican, conservative, red-blooded American, gun-toting, you know, I don't know. He loves George Bush, I guess. Anyway, so, also forgive me, I am, I don't know, I, what was I gonna say? I ramble a lot. I don't have a script. It's just me talking. I'm talking to you, of course, but I'm talking just into my phone, recording, watching my cats, like, look out the window, and, like, it's my day off, and, like, I just kind of, like, hang out in my house and do this, like, on my couch. So, anyway, now we're actually diving on into the episode. So, I'm going to give you a little synopsis of what the episode's about, and then we're going to get into some context around the episode, what was going on in the world, the day that this episode aired, and then we'll actually get into, like, the nitty-gritty of what happens in the episode. So, here's a synopsis for you, all right? Stan panics after discovering that his new neighbors are Iranian. Iranian-American. Steve finds himself at the mercy of the Scout Rangers. So, I like to get my synopsis, plot summaries, whatever, from IMDb, because they always have, like, consistent, like, facts and plots, pictures, whatever, and everybody loves IMDb, you know? So, it's a very basic synopsis, but it really doesn't capture, like, what goes on in this episode, which I'm kind of excited about. So, Stan, of course, we know at this point he's a very white, like, conservative man, and he hates terrorism. He's been a terrorism hater since the beginning, and, you know, he gets new neighbors who are Iranian, and he can't stand that shit. I mean, he gets better over time, I think, I guess, but, you know, at this point, he's very, like, he comes in hot. He's probably, at, like, right now, the most insane person, insane character in this show, which, you know, is crazy because Francine ends up being crazier than him, Roger ends up being crazier than him, even, like, Steve has his antics. But right now, Stan is in the hot seat. So, let's get into some context for the episode. It aired on June 12th, 2005. So its zodiac sign is a Gemini. The day that it aired on the 12th, the moon phase was a waxing crescent. And if you don't know, if you're new, I have a bunch of trackers for each episode, and one of them is the moon phase of the day that each episode airs. And my goal is, at the end of each season, I want to do, like, a moon phase calendar for the show. Just because, I don't know, I like astrology, I like the moon, I like astronomy, that kind of shit. So, if you're into that, the moon phase was a waxing crescent. And I have an app, I double-checked, it can go back, I don't know, probably until the day, like, Christ was born or something, what the moon phase was. So, I triple-checked, and we can add that to the list. The number one song in the U.S. on this day is still We Belong Together by Mariah Carey. If I'm not mistaken, it was, I know for sure it was the number one song for episode 5 of American Dad, but not episode 4. Yeah, episode 4 was a Gwen Stefani song. So now we've moved on to Mariah Carey, which we love. We love women in this house, you know. I'm a girl, so I'm all about all that girl power stuff. And then a popular movie in the U.S., I don't want to say the number one because it doesn't say that on this website that I use to, like, check facts about each day in history or day and time, whatever. So a popular movie in the U.S. on this day was War of the Worlds, which was directed by Steven Spielberg. I've never seen the movie, but I know the book, and I know it's a good book. I didn't finish the book either. I started it, I think, at one point in my life, but I didn't finish it. So if you saw the movie, let me know if it was worth the hype, I guess. And then on this day, in history.
Times like this, I wish I had a wife.
Not a
I
lot of.
Say,
not a lot bread, went pig. Down, I guess. Nice. Well, it was probably a lot for the people that were going through it, I suppose. I wasn't there, so I'm very sorry if I'm, you know, being ignorant to your troubles. But, okay, so on this day, Steve Jobs delivers a commencement address at Stanford University. I don't really know what the fuck that means. Like, he's talking about Apple, but, like, did Apple do something in 2005 that was so revolutionary it needed, like, a commencement address at Stanford? Like, I don't know. I'm not a tech bro. I don't live in Silicon Valley. I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, and it's convenient for me. You know, I like iMessage. So, I don't know if that commencement address, like, means something. Just let me know, and I'll, you know, write it down somewhere, I guess. Or you can teach me something. I don't know. Okay. After 5 months in captivity in Iraq, French journalist Florence Abuenas and her interpreter Hussein Hanoun al-Saadi are released. So, God bless. I hope they're doing okay. You know, thank God they were released, hopefully unharmed. And then four U.S. soldiers were killed in Baghdad by roadside bombs. R.I.P. Oh, my goodness. I know. Ugh. The Iraq war was fucking terrible. I can't get into, like, political and, like, war shit like that because, one, it scares me, and, two, I don't know enough about it to be like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know. It's awful. I don't like when anybody dies, so that sucks. Okay. Mike Tyson announces he is retiring from boxing. So I guess that's a big deal because he was a boxer forever, and as long as I've been alive, I haven't, you know, seen him do anything like that except, like, commercials, and I'm pretty sure he has been a guest star on American Dad. But we'll come back to that if it's ever a thing. Okay. All right. Last thing. Indian TV stations are banned in Nepal. That personally isn't, I don't understand, like, what was going on between India and Nepal. I don't know if they have beef or something. Again, I don't pay attention to politics. I will be very honest. Like, I have my own problems. I have my own issues. And, like, I just can't, I can't take on any other country's, like, woes, especially, like, when I was a child. So I'm so sorry if that makes me sound like a dumb bitch, but whatever. If maybe that's a big deal, maybe it's not. If you know anything about that, like, please fill me in. Like, I'm open to learning new things. I just can't go and seek this information out myself, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So the guest stars for this episode are Gina Gershon, who plays Karen, Seth Green plays Joey, and then Richard Kind plays Al Tuttle, and we get to meet Al Tuttle in this episode. We love Al Tuttle for a little while. I end up not really liking him that much anymore, but whatever. And then Elias Koteas plays Jim, and he hasn't been in, like, a lot of stuff, but he kind of looks like Elliot Stabler from SVU, and he was definitely in Shutter Island, so if you know that guy, that's what I'm talking about. And then Matthew Lillard, he plays Bruce, and we love Matthew Lillard in this house. I'm a huge Matthew Lillard fan. Matthew Lillard, if you ever listen to this, I love you. And You should let me know if you like this. Okay. And then I've got some fun facts about the episode. So it's the first appearance of the Golden Turd. And if you don't know the Golden Turd, if you're new to the show, oh my God, this is such great lore to, like, get started on. Like, this is a good time to, like, get in on this lore because it's obviously the beginning. and we'll be going through every single time the golden turd appears, and we will make like a great timeline. I should make a fucking PowerPoint or something. And then this, so there's only two fun facts that I found. So obviously the golden turd, it appears, and then the photo taken at the end of the episode is a reference to a famous image of a prisoner abuse at Guantanamo Bay, which I know about Guantanamo Bay, and I know, like, you know, it was, it probably is still very heavily used for, like, POW stuff, and I don't know, like, Iraq War, it, I don't know, it, again, that shit freaks me out. And it makes me upset. I can't, like, especially when I was a child, I had no idea what was going on in 2005. All right, so before I dive in to, like, the actual episode, I just want to say I'm so sorry for rambling like a motherfucker. This is just what I do because I don't have a script, and I get really excited. So I just, like, I start talking, and then I don't know what I'm talking about, and then I get way too ahead of myself, so just bear with me, because I also don't edit this. I want to be, like, as real as possible, and, you know, you might forget some stuff that I'm talking about. You might remember some stuff that I'm talking about. If you remember, you can, feel free to remind me, like, what the fuck I'm saying, because as soon as words leave my mouth, they are forgotten. But I'm so excited to, like, be doing what I'm doing. And I just, like, I said, I go to Yapville. Like, I'm trying to give as many, like, warnings to everybody as possible. I go to Yapville, and I don't stop. It's basically like pulling the brakes off of a train. Like, once you get me started, I just roll and roll and roll. Jeez, so anyway, now we can dive on in to the episode. So we've got the second tracker that I am keeping tabs on, which is a newspaper headline. And for this episode, look, it is missing twins found in gingerbread house. I don't really know what that's supposed to be in reference to. If that has something to do with, like, politics or something, like, please fill me in. I don't know if, like, there was, like, you know, a big, like, high profile, like, criminal case. I don't know if it has, it clearly doesn't have anything to do with Christmas because it's in the middle of June when this episode aired. So I don't know what the fuck that means. So that's the newspaper headline. So if that means anything to you, or if it means something to the world as a whole, just tell me, because I'd love to know what the fuck they're talking about. And then, as we know, this episode is called Homeland Insecurity, and, you know, Stan gets all paranoid about his neighbors and stuff, and this is only the first time that he gets, like, you know, the neighbors are all involved in an episode, and he gets, like, super, like, freaked out and paranoid about them, so this is the first time that this happens, and it happens again in the episode, I think it's season 5 or 6, Incident in Owl Creek, where they have a block party, and that's when Stan uses his sonar machine that he had in episode 2 to eavesdrop on Haley. He uses that later on, not in this episode, but he freaks out about his neighbors. He can't handle people not liking him, people, like, being terrorists. That's not a good combination, you know? So, anyway, that was the newspaper headline. Anyway, it starts off, you know, Stan is trying to avoid his neighbors talking to him, and this is where we meet Al Tuttle for the first time. And if you've been a longtime fan of the show, you know that Al Tuttle gets fat as fuck, which I'm not hating on fat people. I'm just saying they make him ridiculously fat in later episodes. And in this episode, when we meet him, he's actually, like, you know, he's able to, like, go outside and, like, water his lawn and, like, talk to other people. Like, you know, when we meet him again later on, he's not able to leave his house because he's so large. Like, he can't, he just can't do anything. So, Al Tuttle comes in, and let me know how you guys feel about him, because he is, I like him, but he's not my ultimate favorite. I don't know. Like, he's a good side character, like, but they, I feel like they could have done more with him. Maybe I'm just not remembering every detail about him, but you guys let me know how you feel about Al Tuttle, and we'll talk about it. So Stan is trying to avoid all of his neighbors making small talk with him, and he's driving Francine around the neighborhood in circles. And she says to him, I have to pee, and I'm not going in the cup again. Like, oh my God, he is so fucking paranoid about his neighbors being weird to him, even though he's the one being weird, that he's making Francine piss in a cup in the car. Which, okay, like, he really is, like, I've been talking about in the past couple of episodes that I've been doing for this podcast, I've been making little notes about Stan acting unhinged. He really is just that way, isn't he? He really is just an unhinged motherfucker. Hold on 1 second, I gotta pause. Anyway, so Stan is driving Francine around the neighborhood. He's freaking out. She has to piss in a cup. He won't let her get out of the car for whatever reason. I don't know why he doesn't just do that by himself. But then Al kind of, he comes up to the car and he's like trying to talk to them. And he's like, I'm like really interested in what you've got going on. And Francine is trying to talk to him and have a conversation. Stan wants nothing to do with it. And this is where we learn that Al Tuttle's wife, Betty, she has been dead at this point for 6 months. She died 6 months prior. And he says, oh, it's the big C. And Francine was like, oh, cancer. And he says, no, the big C from the Coca-Cola sign fell right on top of her. Which, I want to say, I feel like when they bring Al Tuttle back later, when he gains a lot of weight, I feel like she died a different way. But we can make a note of that, you know? We can, like, put a pin in that one and come back to it. I take all these notes of every detail of every episode. So I basically have like a dictionary encyclopedia going of American Dad. So I will be able to find that again. Don't you worry. And then, so his wife's Betty, she's dead. And like Stan is just, he's so angry. He's such a mad man. Not only a mad man, but a mad man. He just gets pissed off at everybody. And like I said, he's mad at them, but then he like doesn't like, they don't do anything to him. They just annoy him. And he just, we know at this point, he just likes to take it from 0 to 150. Like, he has no, talk about no brakes on a train. He has no fucking brakes. And, okay, so, oh, another thing, if you're new to the podcast, new to the show, whatever, and like I mentioned earlier, I have terrible ADD. I take notes as I watch each episode, so all of my notes are in order. If I do it any other way, I'm going to miss something, or I'm going to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. So I'd rather butcher the episode and do it in order, because at least you kind of know, like, what's going on throughout the episode, than me trying to group stuff together, and it doesn't make any sense. So we jump back and forth a little bit, but again, if you like just hearing people talk about the show, you know, this is for you. If you can't stand it, I do apologize. I just, I don't know how else to do this. And this is what I like to do. So, you know, that's, it's on me mostly. But if you don't like to listen, that's okay too. Anyway, so Francine is getting all upset about Stan, like, not, like, being so angry at the neighbors and not talking to them. And she's like, I used to have friends. I used to know what was going on. Because she didn't know that Betty Tuttle died. 6 months prior. So she's getting all upset. I used to know what was going on. I used to know everything that was going on in the neighborhood, and I'm so out of touch. And her goal for this episode is to get back in touch with the neighbors. She wants to have, like, a party. She wants to have a house party, a block party. She wants to, like, have friends and be part of the neighborhood again, which, of course, Stan is, like, hugely against. But he's also, like, so CIA-coded that he can't do it without doing fucking cavity searches and background checks on these poor people. So it hasn't really been working out for them. And then we got another tracker, the threat level indicator on the fridge. So that I've noticed, and if you've been following along, you have noticed too, that it does change. And it's funny that in this episode, the arrow is between the green and the blue, which means the threat level is low. You would think, with the way that Stan fucking behaves, that it would be in the fucking red. But no. And I'm wondering, actually, what that has to do with anything. Because if he is so threatened by all of his neighbors, especially his new ones, the Mamaris, why is it not in the red-orange? What are we doing here, then? You know, if the threat level indicator is very low, but Stan is very clearly threatened by everybody. So that's why I like keeping track of these things, because it doesn't really make sense. And it kind of plays into, like, this theory that I have. And again, if you're new here, I have this whole big theory about the show, the goo theory, where Roger is, like, in control of everything all the time. Like, he basically, like, puts the Smiths in a simulation and lets them run with their antics while he gets to do whatever he wants. And I wonder if he is already starting to, like, you know, because in his eyes, in this episode, there's no threat, there's no nothing going on. So I'm going to put a pin in that. I'm going to make a little note of that. Roger might already be in control of some stuff, but we'll see. So, like I was saying, Stan's security clearance gives him too much information on all of his poor neighbors. He does background checks on everybody. He, like, he can't not talk about, like, you know, their deep, horrible secrets. So they have a little flashback of, you know, Stan and Francine trying to have neighbors over just as, like, a friendly dinner, brunch, whatever you want to call it type thing, hors d'oeuvres. I love saying that word, hors d'oeuvres. I always think of deviled eggs. and so they have this other couple over for, like, a double date night. And out of the blue, he says to the wife in this other couple, "So, you had an abortion in college." And the husband of this poor woman didn't even know that she had that, and she ran out of the room crying. And Francine made a point of this. She was like, "You are not normal with the neighbors. You need to be normal. I want to have friends. We're going to have friends. And you're going to act like a normal person." And he makes a promise to her. He says, "I'm going to be fun. I'm going to be so fun all the time. I'm going to be fun in the living room. I'm going to be fun in the bedroom. I'm going to be fun in the kitchen. I'll be fun outside." And makes this big show, like, about being normal. So they agree, okay, we're going to have a party. Stan's going to be normal. Francine is going to host. Great. Now, my next thing here that I have is part of the layout of the house, which, if you're new, I keep track of how the Smith house changes in accordance to what the characters have going on. Like, like the house changes for convenience. And watching, like, later episodes in my free time, I know this is fucking true, and I will bring this evidence to you. And I actually have some good evidence in this episode. So we're gonna get to that. But right now, one thing that I've been keeping a note of since episode one is they have a window by the stairs, which, if you look at the outside of the house, it should lead to the garage, based on where the front door is, based on the type of house that they have, which is an updated Cape Cod, we learned, I think in, like, episode two or three. And so, and I always thought it was a center stair colonial, which means if there is a staircase in the middle and you have a, like, you have a wall right next to the stairs, that should lead out into the garage. Or it should be a wall in between, like, that and another room in the house. But in this episode, we can see through the window that it looks out into the side yard, which doesn't make any sense because that's where the garage should be. So, we'll be getting back to that, especially because I know for a fact that window goes away later. And then we are in the living room now because Steve and Roger are watching TV together, and they're watching something about an alien. I don't know. He's got powers or something. I don't know if they're watching fucking E.T. They must, because the whole rest of the Steve and Roger side story is E.T. So maybe I'm just dumb, and even though I watched the episode twice to prepare for recording this, am I not paying attention to the fact that they're talking about fucking E.T.?
I can't see their terrorist-related
whatever
activities.
Again, like, I don't edit this. I don't. I just, I'm, like, this is as real as you're going to get as far as recording anything for the public goes. So, Steve mentions to Roger that he doesn't have any special powers, which is very interesting, because later on in the show, Roger has a lot of powers. I can move really fast. And he's texting fucking Bob Saget. Roger has a lot of powers. And this plays into my goo theory, because before the goo chambers that we see in season 3, episode 1, Roger had no way of controlling the Smiths, and he had no way of putting them in simulations where he can do whatever he wants. But afterwards, he's able to do this, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he has more and more powers after this episode. I wish I had, like, a crazy, like, conspiracy theory board, like Charlie Day in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because I look like him with a cigarette in his mouth and all the red rope talking about this goo theory. If you want to know more, if it's not making any sense to you, just give me a holler. I will explain anything you want to know about my goo theory. But I like to put things on record so that I can go back to it later and, you know, be like, hey, I said this. I made a point of that. So, right now, Roger doesn't really have any powers, which we know that he does later on. And he kind of gets all fussy about it, and he's like, I have powers. I'm a good listener, you know? Like, he's trying to, like, make himself feel special, which, if you notice, before the goo chambers, he doesn't really have a way of feeling special. But after the goo chambers, he is, like, the central, he's one of the central characters. So anyway, now we're, so they're fussing over that. Roger's trying to prove to Steve that he has some sort of special powers. Steve is kind of like, oh, I guess, I don't know, but you're not, like, the coolest alien ever. So they're dealing with that. And then we go back to Stan and Francine, who are getting ready for their block party. They're going around the neighborhood telling all their neighbors, like, hey, like, we've got a block party coming. We're hosting. You know, we'd love to see you there. And the neighbor's wife, of like, at the house that they're at, she goes, so no cavity searches? Because that's what he would do. Stan would, he would be like probing them, giving them cavity searches, doing background checks on them, and like they're genuinely concerned that he will keep doing that. As I would be. I mean, if my neighbor was trying to give me cavity searches, I'd be calling the police. It's a miracle he's like not in jail for this. But, you know, whatever. And I want to point out that the neighbors that they're talking to, they do not reoccur later in the show. They might be in, like, a couple episodes, like, in season one, maybe. But this couple that I'm talking about, who's asking about the cavity searches, they do not come up again. So I'm putting that on the record as well, because if they are like a recurring character someone else, like somewhere else, that would actually only support my goo theory. So I'm making a note of that. And as Stan and Francine are going around the neighborhood, you know, handing out their flyer for their block party, Francine is like, okay, now we have to meet the new neighbors. And Stan gets all up in arms. He's like, they better not be Italian. Which, why wouldn't you like, I don't know. First of all, why wouldn't you like any race of people? Like, what did they do to you? But then also, like, why would you not like Italians? Like, do you not like pasta? I don't know. You should like every race that exists, every person on this planet, except for, like, you know, pedophiles and animal abusers should be celebrated because everybody has strength. But he's like, oh no, they better not be Italian. And it's like, okay, like, what the fuck did Italians do to you, sir? Like, now you're never allowed to have pasta. Like, go fuck yourself. Whatever. So, this is where we meet Bob and Linda Mamari, who are reoccurring neighbors. Not a lot, but they live in the neighborhood just like Greg and Terry do. And they come up, like, less often, but they're there. We are now introducing, like, new side characters. But to Stan's dismay, they are Iranian American. Which, again, why would you hate any race, any, what's the other word? Ethnicity. Why would you hate any race, any ethnicity ever? Like, what the fuck did they do to you? And also, like, they're American. Like, not that that makes a huge difference, but to people like Stan, it does. So the fact that they were, like, born here, like, how does that really doesn't make it any better for you? Like, are you really that fucking terrible? Like, oh my God. Like, if you're a normal person, you wouldn't give a fuck, but Stan is not normal, and it's very clear. So Stan, you know, he's like, he's making all these like side remarks to them now. And Francine is like, oh Jesus Christ, like, please get it together. And Bob Mamari says, you know, oh, my parents are from Iran, but I was born in Cleveland. And Stan is like, well, you better not blow up Cleveland. Like, he says something like that. He's like, don't blow up Cleveland. And it's like, why, first of all, is Cleveland, like, worth bombing? I've never been there, and I feel like there's more than one Cleveland in America. Are any of them? Yeah, there is, because there's Cleveland, Tennessee, there's Cleveland, Ohio, and I feel like there's a couple of other ones. Probably smaller towns. Are they worth bombing? Please, get a grip. Oh my God. And also, like, again, they are Americans. They're, like, they're citizens just like you and I. To me, it doesn't make a goddamn bit of difference, but, like, to Stan, it just, you know. And then I had a little quote here where, you know, Francine is, like, talking about the block party, and she's like, it starts at 3 and goes until question mark. Which, to me, is just, like, a little sign of her ditziness. Like, she can't say, like, oh, it goes until whenever, or it goes until 11. Like, she has to say, it goes until question mark. Like, oh, she's so funny. I love her. Like, she really gets ditzier and ditzier as the show goes on, and it's great. So, now Stan is all triggered. He's all upset that they have, air quote, terrorists, air quote, living in the neighborhood. And he makes Steve join the Scout Rangers. And he says to him, you know, whether the war starts in 6 months or 7 months. Or he says, oh, is it the war or, like, terrorism or bombing or something? He says something is going to start in 6 or 7 months. Hold on 1 second. So anyway, Stan makes Steve join the Scout Rangers for his own safety, I guess. And he drops Steve off at, like, the Scout Ranger headquarters. The kid comes out, and I'm pretty sure this is the kid who's voiced by Seth Green. You know, he's like, oh, yeah, like, we'll take, like, you know, Scout Ranger bullshit. And then as soon as Stan walks out of earshot, he's just like, they flip a switch and they got the frat boy shit out. You know, like, they got the hockey table or the air hockey table. They got beer. They got posters of women. Like, you know, all this, like, weird shit. And at first, Steve is like, okay, this is pretty cool. This is great. You know, I get to just hang out with a bunch of dudes who might get me laid. And wouldn't that be great for Steve? Because as we know, he's a chronic virgin. So he's all hyped about that at first. And then we go back to Francine and Stan. They're finally getting ready for the I almost said frat party, but they're not part of the Scout Rangers. They're getting ready for the block party. And Francine is like, are you almost ready? She's like knocking on the bedroom door. And Stan is like, oh yeah, I'm just getting ready. Like, I'm getting, like, funified or whatever the fuck he says. He makes up some word with fun in it. I'm getting ready. And he's really just, like, strapping himself up. So he's got, like, guns across his chest. He's got bombs. He's got, like, a belt full of weapons. And then Klaus is like, I'm pretty sure that, like, there's some room between the vast wasteland between your anus and your testicles. And Stan says, nope, occupado. And he pulls out a fucking spiked ball and chain. Now, I thought that was, like, that's kind of, you tell me what you think of that, because it sounds like when he pulls out the ball and chain that it's Velcroed. So I just want to know how he got Velcro on his taint and how that's not uncomfortable. And he's talking to Steve about how, you know, if he gets kidnapped by neighbors, aka he's talking about the Mamaris, you know, to signal his Morse code to Stan, and he'll bomb the area. Steve is like, okay, but that means you're going to just bomb me. Like, I'm going to die if you bomb my location. And Stan goes, what are you talking about? There's plenty of kids in heaven to play with. So Stan is so much more concerned about terrorism and killing the terrorists that if his own son was, like, part of a casualty, he's like, oh, well, there's plenty of kids in heaven to play with. Your cousin Billy, who, it makes me think of Billy in the later episodes, you know, the little man who's, like, came from that lab. I wonder if they're bringing Billy back to life. Let's put a pin in that, because maybe we can circle back to that when we get farther down. And then Stan also says, oh, yeah, the girl from Poltergeist is up there. You can play with her. And he makes the sick fucking comment about how, he's like, she's probably 16 by now. You can totally hit that. Oh, my God. That's fucking terrible. That poor girl is dead. You know? Like, Jesus Christ. Stan has no fucking breaks. And then, anyway, so we get to the block party, and everyone's there. It's going very smooth. And there's a woman there, Karen Foster, who, again, she's not a recurring neighbor. She's not a recurring character. If I see her again, I will make a note of it. But as of right now, that name is not familiar as far as American Dad goes, and she is definitely not a neighbor. She's very tan. And Greg and Terry are like, they're talking about her. They're like, who's that? Francine says, oh, that's Karen Foster. Do you want me to introduce you? Greg and Terry say, no, we're just like talking about her skin because her sun damaged skin, because that's the type of leather we want for our couch in the den, which I think is great. I feel like that's very typical, like, you know, like they just want to, they want to gossip. They don't want to, and they want to like decorate their house, which I don't blame them. I'd rather decorate my house and gossip than talk to somebody. And Stan, he can't fucking help himself. You know, Bob and Linda Mamari are at this block party, of course. They're trying to be neighborly, of course, because they're normal human beings. And, first of all, Stan, like, I get, Bob Mamari brings, like, a cheese platter. Stan throws it right in the garbage, saying it's, like, the international table. And then he asks Bob to get him a beer, so Bob, unfortunately, bends over into the cooler to get Stan a beer. Stan puts on a glove, he gets out the lube, like he's gonna do a fucking cavity search on this poor man. And he attempts this cavity search outside, in the street, in front of neighbors, in public, like no breaks. And then he, like, he freaks, like, you know, Bob is like, what the hell are you doing? And Stan is like, oh, I just do cavity searches on everybody. It's just, like, a quirk of mine. No, you are a psycho. You are an insane man. And you hate, you're racist. You are a racist. That's what your problem is. So now we jump back to Steve being part of the Scout Rangers. And he is supposed to recite the Scoutmaster Oath. And, you know, we learned very quickly that these Scout Rangers are like degenerates. And they kind of get worse. So Steve is supposed to recite the Scoutmaster Oath. He's holding like a little, oh my God, a match in his fingers. And the leader, I think Seth Green's character, he's the one that says, you know, you need to recite the Scoutmaster Oath before the flame reaches your fingers. And this other kid is like, yeah, and you have to show us your penis. And the first kid is like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, we don't do that. And he says, oh, yeah, that would be, like, really gay if we did, right? Like, that'd be so gay. And it's like, yeah, if you're, like, trying to get someone else to show you their private parts, that's a little bit either predatory or gay or both. And you don't want to mix any of that up because that's not, you don't want to make these kind of things look bad for gay people, you know? I don't know. Like, don't do that. But yeah, show us your penis. That'd be gay, right? And Steve starts to recite the oath, and it's not the real Scoutmaster Oath. He says, I promise to mislead, deceive, beguile. And then it burns his fingers, and he throws the match, and it ends up catching the gazebo that they're standing next to on fire. And, I meant to do this before, I started recording, but now I don't want to pause because I'll lose my train of thought. But I forget what beguile stands for. I meant to look up the definition, and I have to, do that again. So I will make a note of that, like, later on. But beguile obviously has to do with, like, misleading and deceiving and whatever. So he accidentally burns down the gazebo, and he's in a park not far from his own neighborhood. So as the block party is going well, you know, there's smoke and flames, coming from the gazebo, and they can see it from the Smith house. And this is when Francine is like, oh, the block party's going great. This is awesome. Like, thank you for being normal. Thank you for being fun. And Stan is like, we're under attack. And he flips the fuck out. He starts shooting his guns. He blames the Mamaris. He says it's terrorism. And, like, he starts shooting his guns everywhere. And it freaks out the neighbors. Everybody runs, of course, because he just started shooting. And, like, he just, he can't fucking help himself. Now, I want to take a little detour because this is where I made a note in my notes about the flag on the flagpole outside in their front yard, which I have been tracking as diligently as I can. And the flag is on the flagpole, so I just want to state that for the record. Flag is on the flagpole in this episode. It's kind of been on and off, you know, since the beginning, but right now it's on. And then we cut to in the kitchen. Francine is all upset. How could you ruin my party? And hold on, I gotta. Oh, I've been talking like a motherfucker. Hold on.
I know. Imagine if we did.
She says, "How could you ruin my party?" And he very blatantly is like, "Well, I blamed the Mamaris for being terrorists, and I started shooting at everything." And she looks at him and she's like, "What the fuck?" And he's like, "Oh, I thought you said how." Did I ruin your party? Like, babe, you were there. Like, you saw me do it. He has no problem being like, oh, yeah, like, I straight up ruined your party. Like, that's just, that's what I do. And then, you know, Haley is getting all upset at him, of course, because she is a normal human being who cares about other human beings. And she's like, do you even have evidence that they are terrorists? Like, I want you to find me some evidence. And Stan is like, okay. So he starts, like, violating the Mamaris even more. Like, he goes through their trash. He sets up cameras in their house. And as he's going through their trash, he dresses up like a raccoon, and he eats a dead fish. And I think he fights off another animal. I forget if it's a dog or another raccoon. But, like... he really is like, oh, yeah, I'll go find you some evidence that they're terrorists. And then starts going through their trash, dressed up as a raccoon, and eating dead fish. Like, that's fucking, ugh. That's fucking nasty. And then he sets up, like, a surveillance camera in their house, in their living room. And he's watching them, like, just sitting in their living room reading. Because, again, they're normal fucking people. They're not terrorists. And there's a fly that gets in the way of the camera. And he's like, oh, come on. Like, I can't see their terrorist activities. And he goes into their house and starts trying to kill the fly. And then he fucks up their living room. He knocks over their bookshelf. He steps all over their couch. He just doesn't give a fuck. And then he also disguises himself as Linda's doctor. And I'm pretty sure she's going, like, to the gyno or something. Because she's, like, in stirrups. And... he's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm your doctor, whoever the fuck his name is. And then you see it from the point of view of him opening her purse. I can't see their terrorist-related activities. But it really looks like he's just diving into her hole. And he's like, I wish Francine kept hers this clean. Ooh, Tic Tacs. And he, like, it looks like he's, like, just digging through her fucking vagina at first. But then she's like, doctor, what are you doing? Like, stop going through my purse. And, you know, at this point, he gets arrested. They send him to jail because he's been stalking them, harassing them. He's going through their house. He's impersonating a doctor. So I made a note here. Like, Stan is the first out of all of the Smith family to go to jail, which is crazy because I feel like I don't need to make any more side notes about him being unhinged. Like, I'm gonna keep talking about it, but I don't have to, like, point out that he's being unhinged because look at how he's behaving. He can't behave like a normal fucking man. And so he's the first one to go to jail.
Hey, no problem. Really?
And then,
sure, it's easy.
I have another note about the layout of the house. There are less pictures by the staircase, and there's still no basement door. Sometimes the basement door is there because it's closed. Other times it's there and it's open. Sometimes it's just an opening and it's just to the basement. So right now there's no basement door. And after all of this, now we're going back to Roger trying to figure out his powers. Which, if according to my goo theory, if that theory is correct, I think he's just pretending to figure out what his powers are. Because he needs to act like, I don't know, he needs to be like a regular alien, I guess, in order to get away from the Smiths, and he doesn't want to overbear them. So if he acts normal and does, you know, normal alien things, I don't know, then he can introduce his powers later. Or something. I don't know. I think he's pretending. I think he knows that he has powers and he's pretending right now. And then he's doing something, and I wish I don't take notes on every single second of every episode, but I wish I did, because Klaus is saying to Roger, you know, these are times, like, I wish I had a wife so I could sit there and tell her, stop eating bread, you fat pig. Look at those thighs. You disgust me. And I don't know why the fuck he says that, but he doesn't have a wife, so it doesn't really matter. Now we're going back to Steve, and he wants to quit the Rangers because, you know, they're starting to, like, freak him out. You know, they're very aggressive. They're not nice boys. And they don't let him. They're like, oh yeah, you should talk to the last guy who tried to quit. They open the closet door, and there's a skeleton in there, still in Scout Ranger uniform, which means that he has been there for years. They let him rot, and they didn't care about the smell. And they also never got caught. So they very blatantly killed a man and let him rot just in the closet in his Scoutmaster uniform. And the main ringleader, he's like, we're going to take your skin, man. Oh my god, like that is some human centipede type shit. Ugh. So anyway, now, you know, Steve is trying to get out of that shit. And, we're back to Francine and Stan.
Damn it, Roger, stop. And cost us 20 minutes.
Can't run away. He
decides that it's very normal to capture the Mamaris and keep them locked up in the backyard. Now, this is where we're like kind of really looking at the backyard, I think, for the first time in the show. Because we see that they have a pool and all that. But as we're looking out into the backyard, there is a side door. Hold on one second. So we see that there's a side door next to where the sliding glass door is. And this has to do with the layout. Like, what room are we looking at when we're looking at that sliding glass door? Because sometimes there is a laundry room over there. Sometimes there's just a doorway and entrance to another hallway. So what are we looking at, you know, when we're looking at that angle? Because it definitely changes, you know what I'm talking about? So he sets up this concentration camp in the backyard. And, yeah, again, where does this threshold lead? Like, what is that door next to the sliding glass door? So we're trying to figure that out. I am, anyway. And then Roger goes up to Steve and he's like, you know, what are you doing? And Steve is like, are you wearing my dad's sweatshirt? And it's a CIA sweatshirt. And Roger's like, yeah, I'm having a fat day. Which is funny because he kind of has started to move away from like the snacks and stuff. Like he does have some Taco King like later on in the episode, but you don't really hear him talking about like wanting snacks anymore. Now that he's kind of figured out like how to do personas and get out of the house, he's not so focused on snacks anymore. So he's like, I'm having a fat day. And then he's trying to convince Steve to like let him join him, you know, on whatever the fuck he's doing, like, outside of the house. And he says, maybe my special power is keeping you from getting molested at the bus station.
Let's just go home.
Maybe.
Too bad. I guess I'll never find my special power. Because
he, you know what? He would let Steve get molested at the bus station if Roger isn't the one doing the molesting. You know what I'm talking about? So now we're back to Stan. And he's, you know, keeping a very diligent eye on the Mamaris in the backyard. Linda tries to escape. She gets electrocuted because he sets up, you know, an electric fence. And he's trying to, like, sleep deprive them. And they're like, it's 2 p.m. And he's like, he's basically like, I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to sleep deprive you. And he starts talking about the Sandman. And then he is the one to, like, fall off the roof because he fell asleep talking about his own shit. And he falls off the roof and doesn't get any injuries. Like, if you fell off your roof, I would imagine that you would break your arm or your neck or something. And so Haley, she gathers all of the neighbors, all of the non-recurring neighbors, pretty much, plus Greg and Terry, plus Al Tuttle. And we learn that Terry's dad is, like, a major homophobe, which we do see in a later episode when, you know, they have the baby and all that, little Libby. But Terry's dad is a raging homophobe, and we learn that right away. So, you know, he mentions that to Greg. He says something about how, like, his dad is, like, you know, doesn't know that he's gay right now. Doesn't even know that he's married. And then Roger, we're back to Roger and Steve, and they're reenacting E.T. So it must have been E.T. that they were talking about, you know, when they were watching television earlier in the episode. And Roger is in Steve's basket. He's trying to get away from the Scout Rangers. And Roger's wearing his little hoodie, his little CIA hoodie. And he's enjoying his snacks, his Taco King, like I mentioned. And he's like, I think I know what my special power is. And Steve is like, really? What is it? And Roger says, close your eyes. And they start flying off a cliff. And it looks like that scene in E.T. where they're flying past the moon. But they're really just flying past this giant, like, billboard for the Lunar Awareness Council, which I think is fucking hysterical. Like, I feel like that should be, like, an inside joke. Like, if you, like, listen to this podcast and, like, you know all the details, you are part of the Lunar Awareness Council. I'm going to make that a thing. So we are the Lunar Awareness Council now. You're part of it. And the billboard says, the moon, our nighttime sun. Like, yeah, I guess it kind of is the nighttime sun because we have the harvest moon, right? So I just thought that was fucking hysterical. And if I mention the Lunar Awareness Council later on, this is what I'm talking about. And then we're back to Stan, and he's freaking out about the Mamaris being terrorists. And he just locks all of the neighbors in the backyard. He says they're all terrorists. And he says they have clearly recruited others. They're like vampires or the gays. Which, I don't know how either of those groups recruit other people. Like, vampires, like, attack people and, like, suck their blood out. But, like, how do gays recruit other gays? I don't know. Okay. And then he tells Haley to plug her butt with some garlic. And, you know, he's just going insane in the kitchen, and Francine pulls a gun on him, and she's like, you know, you're gonna let these people go, you have to stop this, whatever. And Stan starts talking about, like, how, you know, they have this routine where she'll pull a gun on him, she'll get too tired, her arms get too tired, they put the guns down, and they end up having sex. And so she drops her gun and she walks away. And she's like, why would he, Stan says, why would you pull a gun on me if you didn't want to have sex? Which is the most Smith family thing I can think of. Like, of course he would say some shit like that. Of course they have, like, this weird, like, gun sex thing. I shoot you, you shoot me, we shoot everybody, shot everybody in this family. It's how we communicate.
You know? Like, what the hell? I've never had a gun pulled on me ever in my life. If you have, I do deeply apologize, because that must have been traumatizing. And it probably had nothing to do with having sex with your husband or your wife. So, I don't know. And then, you know, we're back to Steve and Roger because, you know, they flew off that cliff past the Lunar Awareness Council billboard. They flew into one of those big, like, electrical grids. Like, one of those big electrical powerhouses. I don't really know what the fuck you call them. But, you know, they break the grid. They, like, the power goes out. And the whole town, like, loses power. And the Rangers are the ones to kick Steve out of the group because he knocked out the power grid. And he was like, yeah, my PlayStation runs on electricity. Like, you took it too far. And Todd's Sonicare, like, used electricity. And the kid who says, show us your penis. Or, yeah, show us your penis. They drive, like, they ride away on their bikes, and he signals Steve to call him. Like, you know that he's a gay little motherfucker. He just doesn't know how to deal with it. So hopefully he comes to terms with his sexuality later on, because I don't think he's a recurring character, but hopefully he, you know, is able to do something about that in a non-pervy way. And then we see the golden turd for the first time. You know, we have, hold on, my throat is killing me. Oh my God. So we see the golden turd for the first time, and we find it at this electrical powerhouse grid thing. And I'm wondering, is it because Roger was electrocuted? Like, did something happen in his body that, like, chemically produced this golden turd that's, like, gem encrusted? Like, that has to be, like, the first sign that he has superpowers, right? Come on, Francine. And they have this whole side story about it, how, like, these two, like, blue-collar, like, construction workers find it. One guy gets his hands on it. He kills the other guy over it. And he goes to call his wife, and her lover answers, and he finds out that she's cheating on him. And it's, like, this whole crazy thing. And there's a little to be continued, and it's just, like, this is part of the lore. This is part of the American Dad lore. If you aren't new, if you've been watching for a while, and you forgot, like, where it started, here it is, right here, Homeland Insecurity. And if you're new here, and, you know, you don't know, like, much about the Golden Turd, you are getting in right on the ground floor. So, hallelujah to either of those.
So, Laura, you had an abortion in college.
So, sorry, again, my throat is, like, killing me. I don't know why, because I haven't been working on this podcast all week, but whatever. So, then we see Francine, like, she's obviously very upset that Stan is locking the neighbors in the backyard, and she's drinking. But I don't know, this part, this is a little note I had about the layout. What fucking room is she in? It's not their typical living room, because there's no door to the kitchen, there's no door to the basement, there's no stairs, but and there's different furniture. So, is this, like, another den? A family room? Like, what the hell is it? So, again, for their convenience, this room appears, right? So they turn it into, like, they turn this hostage situation into a themed party. And they're able to get away with, you know, the neighbors like liking them and having a good time. And then, you know, a cop shows up and he's like, oh, I found your sweatshirt at, you know, the powerhouse. And Stan immediately assumes that he is the one who is the terrorist. Not the alien in his attic getting out. He assumes, no, it's him. So he must have forgotten that Roger is, like, able to leave the house and he's not supposed to because they will both be killed if he is. So he goes and, like, tortures himself in the shed. Like, he goes and, like, I guess, like, pulls a Guantanamo Bay on himself. Again, I don't know a whole fuck ton a lot about Guantanamo Bay. I know it's not where you want to be. So I guess neither is the shed that he puts himself in. And then, at some point, they're talking about how the neighbors are talking about how Stan is, like, committing to the bit of, like, being, like, a terrorist hater. And Greg says, I love a man that can commit. And Terry says, I can commit. As soon as my father dies, I will wear the ring. Because his dad is a raging homophobe. And I just thought that was really funny. And then one of the last things is, Francine confesses to the Mamaris that, you know, he was really trying to hold them hostage and whatever. And Bob says he's still 100 times better than our last neighbors. They were black. Again, oh my God, like, what do you have against any race or ethnicity of some type of people? What the fuck did they do to you that was so terrible? And how is Stan not worse than them? Because he literally tried to give Bob a cavity search in the middle of the street. So they, of course, Francine and Stan, like, they make up in the end. And that's when they take that picture that I guess is like a Guantanamo Bay reference. I don't want to Google it because I don't want to see any, like, violence like that. But I guess it is a reference to hostage abuse. So they make up in the end. Stan is an insane person. And now we have been blessed with the golden turn. So to wrap up, we have, these are the trackers that I've got going on so far. So we've got the newspaper headline. Missing twins found in gingerbread house. Again, I don't know what the fuck that means, but if you do, please fill me in. The flagpole / threat level indicator. The flag stayed on the whole episode, so not anything crazy. And ironically, the threat level indicator was between green and blue, which they were literally referencing Guantanamo Bay, so I don't know how the threat level could be any higher than that, but whatever. Especially with Roger leaving the house, they almost got caught, you know. The house layout, we have this weird den / second living room. That Francine is drinking in by the, well, we don't really see where it is in the house. It's just not, like, is it off that room, like, next to, the sliding glass door in the kitchen? I don't know. But I'm telling you, they changed the layout for convenience. And then again with the goo theory, I think Roger is pretending that he doesn't have superpowers right now. So, you know, we're going to dive into that more. Dive on in. And then Francine, her hobbies, she doesn't have anything new in this episode. She just wants to make friends. And we've got the moon phase, which is a waxing crescent for the day that this episode aired. And no new expositional book titles. We've only had one so far. I think it was in the last episode. And, they come up occasionally, so we'll eventually have a list going for that, but so far, we got nothing. And then, the last thing, the story of the golden turd begins. So now I want to keep track of every time we see the golden turd. So, overall, you know, At first, I gave it, like, a 6 out of 10. Oh, but I will say it's closer to, like, a 6.5, maybe 7 out of 10. You know, it's not my favorite episode, but we get a lot of lore, a lot of references, some good, like, house layout information. It's not a bad episode. It is pretty funny. It's just very, like, it's very politically heavy. So, I like it. I don't think I have anything else about that, you know? It's just, this is a good episode. So, that wraps it up for season 1, episode 6, Homeland Insecurity. I'm going to be doing season 1, episode 7 next, which is called Deacon Stan Jesus Man. I'm going to be working on that a little bit later. My throat is killing me for some reason. Maybe because it's like I'm shouting into my recorder here. But, you know, overall, good episode. We got a weird newspaper headline. And if you want to follow along with the podcast, it's Shallow Vows Podcast. Pretty much on everything. And I'm mostly on Instagram and YouTube. So, God bless America. Good morning, USA. Welcome, new and old dadders. Thanks for joining me on this conference call. And I will be seeing you on the next one. Have a great day.
Special power. Think, Roger, think.
Perhaps you have the ability to walk through walls.
I don't know.
You won't know if you don't try. Ah!
It's times like this I wish I had a wife, so I could turn to her and say, "Stop eating bread, you fat pig.
Look at your thighs. You disgust me."
Burning down the gazebo? Smith, you have taken us to the next level.
About that, I don't know if I'm ranger material. I'm thinking about hanging up my kerchief.
Hey, no problem.
Really? I can just quit?
Sure, it's easy. Just ask the last guy who wanted out.
We're gonna take your skin, man.
Please stop! I can't take it anymore!
Dad?
Thank God, Haley. Get me out of here. This psycho is putting on a production of South Pacific and he's stepping on all my lines.
Guess you didn't find any proof the Mamaris are terrorists.
Listen, Miss Freedom Hater, the Mamaris are going to strike again and I have to get them off the street before they do. The good news is, in the time I've been locked up, I realized just how to do that. Guard! Oh, wait a second, it's Front Hook. I see it.
Bob, Linda!
There they are! Oh, Francine, I forgot to tell you. I invited Bob and Linda for brunch so I could apologize. Poolside.
Oh, Stan, thank you.
I've acted horribly to you guys. I'm sorry. Sorry, you're terrorists!
Turned our yard into a prison camp?
Detention center, Francine. By keeping them here, they can't strike again.
You can't do this.
Uh-huh. The United States Patriot Act says I can.
Stan, let them out. This isn't funny.
Oh, Linda's making a run for the gate. Come on, Francine. You can't tell me that's not funny. You ready to start talking? I want your full confession on tape.
We didn't do anything.
I'm sorry, terrorist says what?
What?
I thought so.
How could you do this to me, Stan?
It's not always about you, Francine.
Dad, what you're doing violates every tenet of a rational and just society.
High five.
Steve, I do have powers after all. I can shoot heat rays out of my fingertips. Look.
Hey, is that my dad's sweatshirt?
Yeah, I'm having a fat day. What are you doing?
I'm running away. It's the only way I can escape those psycho rangers.
Oh, take me with you. Maybe my special power is keeping you from getting molested at the bus station. Maybe.